We'll have a little audience participation. At the 9 o'clock service, I got a little excited, and I started talking really fast. So if that happens again, just go like this. All right. I have just one question for you this morning. Can you keep a secret? Because I've got something I'm yearning to get off my chest. I simply can't live a lie anymore. I'm standing up here pretending to be a sophisticated guy, when the truth is, and this is hard for me to admit, I am absolutely addicted to extremely lame horror movies. There it is. I've said it. I'm talking extremely awful flicks here. True gems like Poltergeist. Run to the light, Carol Ann. Run to the light. At Ghostbusters, who are you going to call? And don't forget, Army of Darkness. Anyone out there seen this one? All right. This has to be one of the most lame-tastic movies ever created. A flick so spectacularly cheesy, you just can't help but repeat lines like, "Hail to the King, baby." Or, "Good, bad, I'm the one with the gun." And then you have classics like Dracula, Frankenstein, The Wolfman. The list goes on. Each October, I treat Monster Fest on the American Movie Classics channel like my own personal holiday. This is embarrassing, by the way. I never quite realized the magnitude of my lame horror obsession until I found myself staring at a movie one night featuring a giant white poodle wreaking havoc on an unsuspecting town. I believe this movie cost about $5 and a ham sandwich to produce. The poor dog kept walking off in the wrong direction, and these actors were obviously taking time off from their day job to create this cinematic excellence. And wouldn't you know it, I was transfixed. I loved every horrible second of it. It appears my lame horror obsession knows absolutely no limits. But since I'm up here confessing, I might as well take this opportunity to admit my other secret. This one goes along nicely with my horror flick fixation. By the way, this is just us talking, right? You won't tell anyone about this, will you? All right. Well, here goes. I, David Ward, believe in ghosts. It's true. I believe in ghosts. Just not the kind that float around and splat neon green slime against the walls like you see in Ghostbusters. No, the ghosts I believe in are much more personal. They are easily recognizable and three times as terrifying as anything shown on the movie screen. They don't reside in ancient castles or cemeteries. You can't capture them with proton packs or holding traps. The horrifying reality is these ghosts reside in our hearts, our minds, and our souls. I call them the ghosts of our past. Dum, dum, dum. These shadowy figures haunt us with memories we would just as soon forget. Wonderful recollections of people we've shunned or embarrassing mistakes we've made. They simply relish reliving anything that brings horror to your heart and a cry of, "Oh, I can't believe I did that," to your mouth. You'll be snug in your bed, smiling and content from a blissfully positive day, when suddenly a ghost will fly out of the closet, bend down to your ear, and softly whisper, "Do you remember that time when you treated your college roommate so badly and all that pain that you caused? Boy, that you really screwed that up. I'm sure he's still recovering from that." These hauntings leave you shivering between the sheets and longing for one of those silly Hollywood ghosts that simply rearranges furniture or fries eggs on the counter. Personally, I battled a number of these ghosts from my past, and I'm guessing that you have too. Through the years, I've learned to deal with these hauntings, although it has not been easy. I've found the secret lies in humility, confession, and a whole army of loving support. That's where you fine folks come in, you beautiful Unitarian Universalist you. The type of loving support needed to silence these pesky ghosts is located inside these very walls and lovingly wrapped within the very hearts and souls that make up our beloved UU family. Each day, I grow more grateful for this community of spiritual seekers dedicated to nurturing souls and helping to heal the world, tirelessly striving not only to help people discover their true spiritual path, but also to find their best selves and achieve a happiness they may not have even thought possible. I've benefited tremendously from this faith, and judging by the smiling faces in this room, I'm guessing a number of you have benefited as well. Okay, enough kumbaya for now. In the spirit of the hour, I've got a spooky ghost story for you. You see, I don't just watch lame ghost movies. I live them, baby. I like to think it's my calling or something like that. Anyway, you ready? I recently embarked on a terrifying ghost-busting mission of my own. I returned to Pocatello, Idaho, the site of my alma mater, and in my eyes, one of the most haunted places on earth. You see, there's a ghost floating through the gate city, an extremely scary supernatural entity that is actually quite handsome, if you ask me. You see, he looks just like me, only quite a bit younger and with a lot less gray in his hair. Although a friend of mine likes to say that gray hair is a sign of wisdom, so I like to think a lot less wisdom in my hair. I lived in Pocatello several years ago while attending Idaho State University. I continued to reside there while my wife April, who sang this morning, earned her master's degree. I spent 6 memorable years in Pocatello. And like most people's college years, this time of my life can best be described as a little good, a lot of bad, and a pinch of ugly. It's that ugly part that breathes life into my ghost, sets him free to roam among the streets and spend ample time haunting various alcohol establishments. Let's just say I spent a lot of time honoring Merle Haggard's classic line, "I think I'll just sit here and drink while I live there." I was in my early 20s, bulletproof, and I knew everything. All you had to do was ask me. Young punk is probably the most accurate description of me in those days. I honestly thought the world revolved around my brand new leather jacket, and people were just dying to hear me espouse my wisdom on everything from the evil of organized religion. Keep in mind, I didn't know what a UU was back then. Or to the reason that water never actually starts boiling while you're staring directly at it. I was drinking a lot back then, remember? I was a piece of work. Notorious for saying, "Hey, I'll call you soon and we'll do something," and then never actually picking up the phone. I made an art form out of saying awful things behind people's backs. And I wasn't above cracking rather hurtful jokes in front of my unsuspecting victims. I thought I was being hilarious. But looking back now, I realize I was just being a pain in the you-know-what. Gives me the heebie-jeebies just thinking about it. My greatest regret, the incident my ghost most relishes reliving, involved my former boss at the Idaho State Journal newspaper. I decided that I did not care for him one bit, mainly because he had the audacity to believe that I, in fact, did not know everything. He dared to question my brilliance and reprimanded me for my cocky behavior. Well, one night I happened to see him standing in line at the movie theater. I was several yards away, and for reasons that I to this day will never, ever understand, I decided to yell, "You are such a..." And then I used a word that rhymes with grass mole. And I said this loud enough so that my boss was sure to hear me. Not surprisingly, my dear old boss whipped around. He had steam coming out of his ears, and he started shuffling right toward me. I simply strolled out of the theater, which what I think back now was a sickening swagger. Please know that this incident haunts me every single day. It devastates me every time I think about it. I would give anything to go back and change this little bit of my history. Take away those angry words before they ever had a chance to leave my mouth. But alas, it just doesn't work that way. Returning to the scene of the crime was an extremely difficult and emotional experience for me. There I stood face to face with my ghost after several years, forced to confront my fears once and for all, break through the mistakes of the past, and begin the slow crawl toward understanding and forgiveness. We all endure hauntings from our past. Some are not nearly as embarrassing as the ones I'm sharing with you this morning, but some might be much more painful and life-altering. It is important to remember, however, that these hauntings are only reflections of the past. Yes, they are terrifying, but they have absolutely no bearing on the present or the future. The best thing you can do is acknowledge the pain, admit the guilt, and use these hauntings as learning tools for the future. You might say to yourself, here's how I acted in that situation. Here's the incredibly mortifying result that came out because of it. Perhaps I would be wise not to make that decision again. Sounds logical, right? Always remember that life is one long and glorious journey. I'm sure you'll agree that the ride is anything but smooth. There are ups, there are downs, and there are enough twists and turns to keep that excitement flowing. We all need to cherish this wonderful gift the unnameable powers that be have bestowed upon us. The good, the bad, and yes, even the ugly. It's all connected. And I dare say, it's all beautiful. I'm sure you remember UUA moderator Jeannie Corder's rousing sermon at our fellowship a few months ago. Jeannie pointed out how most UUs cannot agree on whether there is life after death, but all of us can agree that there is definitely death after life, right? Her slogan for UUs would state, "We are all going to die. Have you lived yet?" Part of this living includes making mistakes. Some mistakes are dreadfully embarrassing and worthy of haunting status. Yet we all need to search our hearts and seek forgiveness. In a perfect world, we would find each person we have offended and beg for mercy. But real life often doesn't allow this. The real key is forgiving yourself. And the reason is simple. If you can't forgive yourself, nobody else will. Joshua Lothlieben writes, "We achieve inner health only through forgiveness. The forgiveness not only of others, but also of ourselves." And a wonderful poem by Sri Chimnoy adds to this theme. "Forgive, you will have happiness. Forget, you will have satisfaction. Forgive and forget, you will have everlasting peace within and without." The time has come to seize the pain. Cast it out of your heart forever. Make room for healing. Make room for love. You know, a lot has transpired since my dreadful night at that movie theater. I've accumulated a significant amount of wisdom in my hair. I've matured over the years. The powers that be somehow saw fit to place me in charge of a child. Thankfully, I haven't let them down yet. And most importantly, for the first time in my life, I've discovered the truly saving grace within a loving, trusting, and genuinely caring community. I realize now that life's journey is not a solo ride. It's meant to be shared with others. Around 4 years ago, I discovered this UU faith. I had no concept of a religious community, and my burdens were locked deep inside my soul. It wasn't long, though, before I realized that I was unleashing those burdens and falling gracefully within the loving arms of my spiritual family here at BOOF. We are so fortunate to have a community where our troubles are shared, our hearts are open, and our lives are accepted. You and your ghosts are accepted. Period. The real beauty emerging from my ghost-busting adventure in the Gate City was meeting all of the wonderful souls at the Pocatello Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, basking in the warmth of truly kindred spirits. Feeling their love and their support, that was truly a gift from the Holy that I will treasure forever. And you want to know something? When I finally confronted my ghost, really saw him for the first time, I saw through that arrogance and that swagger. I looked directly in the eyes And you know what I saw? Fear. I saw a young man thrust into adulthood and scared to death. A young man harboring tremendous loneliness and a feeling that he just doesn't fit in among his peers. A lost soul in search of a home. Boy, I could have used you guys back then. But after recognizing my ghost for what he truly is, a scared soul consistently making bad choices, I no longer felt fear. I actually felt a little empathy. Not for the horrible choices that I was making at that time, but for the confused young man that I was. I am now able to understand and forgive. All thanks to you. I hope you will join me in vanquishing the ghosts of the past and steering your sights on a bright future ahead, seizing your right to be new again. It's quite liberating. I'd like to close this morning with a beautiful poem composed by a rather underrated writer. I found that author unknown has produced some terrific work over the years. And this poem is no exception. It is entitled Forgiveness, and it speaks to the very heart of our UU principle of acceptance of one another and encouragement to the spiritual growth in our congregations. To forgive is not to forget. To forgive is really to remember that nobody is perfect, that each of us stumbles when we want so much to stay upright, that each of us says things we wish we had never said, that we can all forget that love is more important than being right. To forgive is really to remember that we are so much more than our mistakes, that we are often more kind and caring, that accepting another's flaws can help us accept our own. To forgive is to remember that the odds are pretty good that we might soon need to be forgiven ourselves, that life sometimes gives us more than we can handle gracefully. To forgive is to remember that we have room in our hearts to begin again and again and again. So the next time your ghost comes floating out of the closet in the dead of night, don't cower under the sheets. Sit up straight. Wrap your arms around its ghostly body and tell it you love it. Big, scary flaws and all. Now, if you'll excuse me, there's a Friday the 13th marathon on today, and I simply must tend to it. You know how it is. Somebody's got to warn those kids to stay out of the cellar.